The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello and welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. I'll be your comedy source for today. This is brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Here we go with Ziggy. Our favorite sad sack, Ziggy, is sitting at a counter at Ed's Diner. Printed on the glass of the front window in large letters reads Ed's Diner. Additional signs have been posted all around the room reading Ed's Wall, Ed's Hat, Ed's Coffee Pot, Ed's Cake, Ed's Menu, Ed's Counter, and finally on the chef's back, it says Ed. That's cute. Lola, the crankiest senior citizen ever, Lola, walks into the kitchen with her dog, Max. Her daughter-in-law, Amy, is working on her laptop at the kitchen table. Lola's clothes are wrinkled and she is draggy. Amy: goodness, Lola, you look awful. Lola mumbles, no sleep. Max hogged the covers and only gave me 2 inches of the bed to use. Amy: couldn't you just gently shove him over a little? Lola gets angry and snaps at her daughter-in-law. What kind of heartless monster are you? Max growls. Amy turns back to her computer. Right. Other Coast. The text box reads, the first food scrounge. A hairy caveman, dressed in furs with fur boots, walks into a cave where his dog is sleeping. Next to him is the carcass of the mammoth that he has just killed. A spear is leaning up against the mammoth. The caveman looks at his dog. There is a piece chewed out of my mammoth. I wonder who could have done that. Blondie. Dagwood is walking in a hallway with his coat and his briefcase ready to leave work. Mr. Dithers comes out of his office and stops him. My boy, I noticed that you didn't make any stupid errors this week that I usually have to catch in time to save us from bankruptcy. He gives Dagwood a big hug around his middle. As he squeezes, he announces, 1 in a million. Dagwood stares, rather stunned. And in the final frame, Dagwood is taking off his jacket as he arrives home. Blondie is chatting with him. You're sure in a great mood. Dagwood, well, yeah, the boss really raved about my performance this week. Just barely. Dustin. Ed, Dustin's dad, is driving the car with his father, Grandpa Kudlik, in the passenger seat. Grandpa, let's get a snack on the way home. There's a hot dog stand next to that donut shop. Ed, great. So we'll either have way too much grease or way too much sugar. Grandpa, no, we'll have way too much grease and way too much sugar. Sally Forth. Ted and Sally are setting the table for dinner. Ted, how was your first day at work? Sally, I don't know, Ted. Alice, who gave her the job, was always an erratic employee, and I fear she will be an erratic boss. She hasn't even told me the full scope of my job yet. Ted, but your insurance includes dental and vision, right? Sally, oh, I signed all the papers. I'm fully locked in. Pearls before swine. Rat and Pig are enjoying a beer at the bar. Pig, if there is a God, why does he let all the bad things that happen in the world happen? Rat, because he's given us beer. Beer is God's way of apologizing for everything else. Pig, so alcohol is God's makeup gift? Rat, not tequila. That's from Satan. Yeah, that could be. Mother Goose and Grim. Grim, Ralph, the other dog, and Mother Goose are waiting to be seated at an Italian restaurant. Mother Goose, I love coming to Salvador's restaurant. Ralph, best Italian food in town. I wonder if gangsters really ate here. Grim, well, they are famous for their mobster Thermidor. Lobster Thermidor, Mobster Thermidor. Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is reading a book in his easy chair. Mammoth, the sheep, approaches and announces, "My mom's snowed in. She can't get out of her driveway. So now she's unable to visit me to complain about her life and generally critique everything I do. I better call a plow." Mammoth picks up the phone and starts dialing. Cobb turns to him and asks, "To clear her driveway?" Mammoth, "No, to add more snow." Pickles. Grandpa and his buddy Clyde are on the back stoop. Earl, "My grandson told me he hoped I'd never die." Clyde, "That's sweet." Earl, "Yeah, but really, when you come right down to it, who wants to hang around forever? I mean, what would I do with all that time?" Clyde, "Oh, make lists of productive things you could be doing and then don't do them." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "The purchase." A woman is browsing in a piano store. In the showroom, there are a variety of pianos. The saleswoman at the counter is holding up two large books for her to look at. The first book cover shows, quote, "The ABCs, A is for Amadeus, B is for Bach, C is for Chopin," close quote. The other book title is "Your First Notes," which includes musical notes on the cover. The salesperson asks the woman, "Some sheet music for your new baby grand?" Macanudo. Fellini, the cat, is crouched in the grass, ready to pounce. In the next frame, he is sitting next to Henrietta, the little girl in the blue dress, in the grass. Fellini announces, "Felines are very much attuned to sensory information and are keenly aware when even small changes take place in their immediate environment." Fellini turns his head sharply as a fly buzzes by. He zeroes in with his eyes on the flying insect. Dilbert. The pointy-haired boss walks into Wally's office, where he is working on a laptop computer. Wally is one of the colleagues at the office. The boss points to Wally and tells him, "Wally, report to Human Resources to find out the consequences of your inappropriate behavior." Wally looks up with surprise and asks, "What did I do wrong?" The boss, "I don't know, but you look like the kind of guy who would do terrible things." In the final frame, Wally is walking toward HR holding a cup of coffee. He is thinking to himself, "Lucky guess." Baby Blues. Wanda has just gotten out of a relaxing bubble bath that her husband had arranged. She is wearing a bathrobe with her hair wrapped in a towel. Daryl leads her toward the couch. "Daryl, to top off your spa experience, we have one more surprise." Daryl offers her a glass of red wine, a mani-pedi, a light snack, and an evening of Downton Abbey. Ted looks longingly at the television as he adds, "Or the Suns game, your call." Wanda settles on the couch. Zoe looks closely at her mother's toenails. "I'm going to need the pruning shears." Hammy walks in carefully carrying a plate with a snack for his mother. Imitating a butler, he announces, "Your popped tart, ma'am." Garfield. The greatest of felines, Garfield, is sitting in his easy chair watching television. We hear the TV announcer, "When training your cat, never punish them for bad behavior." A second announcer adds, "Is that because they don't understand being punished?" The first announcer states, "Why, no. It's because they will seek revenge." Garfield sports a devilish smile while thinking, "We don't get mad. We get even." Mutz. Earl, the dog, and Mooch, the cat, are standing outside by the base of a tree. Earl, "Do you think the squirrels are still hibernating, Mooch?" Mooch, "I don't know." Suddenly, each of them is hit in the head by an acorn thrown from a branch of the tree above them. Bonk, bonk, as the nuts bounce off their heads. Mooch turns to Earl. "Let's ask them." Hi and Lois. Hi is talking to a salesman in a used car lot. "Hi, I'm thinking of getting a car for my son." The salesman replies, "Well, we have a Malibu for $15,000, a Sedona for $21,000, and a Tucson for $18,000. High cuts him off. "Those are all too expensive." The salesman walks over to another car and asks, "How about a 1996 Toledo for $5,000? Beetle Bailey. General Halftrack is wearing a suit and tie. He's in the hallway of his house looking at his wristwatch. The general's wife, Martha, has just come in wearing a party dress and a pearl necklace. The general, "I've been waiting for an hour late for dinner." Martha, I'm ready, but you need to change your tie. In the final frame, they arrive at the home of the couple where they have been invited for dinner. Martha explains to the other couple, sorry, we're late. Amos wasn't ready. The general turns and glares at her. The family circus. The family is seated in a pew at church on a Sunday morning. Mommy is reading the church flyer. Dolly stands up and whispers to Mommy, how much longer until we goeth home? Zitz. Jeremy comes home from the talent show. He's holding his guitar case. His mother has just finished drying the dishes and asks excitedly, how did the talent show go? Jeremy, Dijon won. She played the flute. Mom, impressive. Jeremy continues, while typing a college application essay with her toes. Mom replies, even more impressive. Speed bump. A bird is standing on a tree branch next to his nest. The nest is made of a collection of twigs and grass. On the far side of the nest, another bird is holding a paintbrush next to a paint bucket. This bird is in the process of painting the outside of the nest white. The other bird asks, what are you doing? Everyone knows you don't paint original wood trim. Bizarro. In the throne room of a castle, a king is sitting on his throne. He is wearing a tall crown and holding a staff. The king also is dressed in a red gown with ermine trim. In front of him, the court jester is wearing a three-pointed hat with bells on each side. The jester is also holding a staff with a miniature version of his own head stuck on top of it. The court jester is naked. He announces to the king, I shall now enact that classic tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. The text box reads, Full Frontal Nudity. Cornered. A woman walks by a couple of bookshelves in a bookstore. In the first bookshelf, all of the books are standing upright. There is a sign above this bookshelf that reads, Upright. On the next shelf, all the books are laying on their side. The sign above this shelf reads, Non-upright. Non sequitur. Danae is running down the hall at her home when she hears her father shout behind her, Go to your room and stay there, Danae. She screeches to a halt and mumbles, Okay, okay, yes. She wiggles her finger to her father through the closed door to his office and continues, But hold on to that anger to boost the podcast numbers. Danae's father has a broadcast, but very few followers. Danae has made it her mission to encourage him to offer content of dubious honesty to pander to the crowd mentality. Joe screams from his side of the door, Just go! In the next frame, she's curled up on her bed with her imaginary friend, a horse named Lucy. Danae is reading. Lucy asks, What was that all about? Danae, A little disagreement on marketing strategy. Lucy, Strategy on what? Danae, rebranding. In the final frame, it is 2 minutes earlier. Danae is sitting at her father's podcast broadcast booth. She's speaking into the microphone. Stay tuned for the Steaming Pile podcast with your angry host, Joe Pyle. Duplex. Eno Camino and Fang, the yellow dog, are at a nice restaurant. Eno is handing the menu to the waiter as he gives him his order. I'd like my steak tender and no lumps in my mashed potatoes. The waiter leaves. Eno takes a sip of his wine. Waiter comes back and announces, The chef wants to know if you mind him using the same pair of wooden clogs on both. Marmaduke. The big dog is sitting in his backyard wearing a pair of sunglasses. He is howling. The man next door is peering over the top of the fence as he remarks, Why, yes, the sunglasses do make your singing more soulful. Travel. Echo, Norman's girlfriend, has come to visit Norman and his dog, Wally, the wiener dog. She is talking to them at their front door. She smiles and announces, I came to apologize. I never should have given you an ultimatum. Although I do have a pet badger named Mittens, and you have a pet dachshund. I am sure we can... Before she can finish, Wally takes off out the front door, barking, ruff, 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 ruff. Echo is concerned as she shouts, Mittens, I told you to stay in the car. Norman just looks on. Ziggy, our diminutive friend has just finished a meal at Mom's Diner. As he walks to the front door, He notices a sign on the back of the door that reads, "Remember to brush your teeth." Lola. Our favorite senior citizen, Lola, is sitting on the park bench looking at her tablet with her boyfriend, Harry. Lola. Got a quiz here that asks, how well do you know your partner? Harry. Hit me. Lola. Okay. What's your favorite color? Harry. Pink. Lola. More specific, please. Harry. Don't have frosting pink. The Argyle sweater. Two cell phones are standing on the sidewalk next to a third cell phone with a face of a mime who is performing for money using a coffee cup for collecting coins from satisfied customers. The mime's cell phone is wearing a French beret and has black and white stripes on the lower half of the screen, denoting the traditional striped shirt of a mime. The two spectators' cell phones turn to each other and remark, "He's good." Her friend scoffs, "Oh, big deal. I can put myself on silent mode, too." Other coast. Coco, the dog, is looking up at a squirrel sitting on a tree branch above his head. Coco, "Where's your buddy, Squeaky?" The squirrel answers, "He got clipped by a car. He dashed across the road without looking. It's not the first time he's been hit, either." Coco is concerned. "Coco, he doesn't look before crossing the road?" The squirrel crosses his arms and replies with frustration, "He's a dasher, not a looker." Blondie. Dagwood answers the door where the mailman, Mr. Beasley, has just rung the bell. Beasley is looking at his watch and holding up his finger as he counts down just as Dagwood opens the door. "Okay, I texted my order at Mrs. Fleawild's house. 3, 2, 1. Dagwood is curious. "What order?" Suddenly a pizza delivery man is coming up the sidewalk while announcing, "Triple gargantuan mega meat pizza delivery for Beasley." The mailman turns and hands the delivery boy some cash as he tells him, "Right here." Dagwood is stunned. In the final frame, Dagwood and the mailman are sitting in Dagwood's kitchen, enjoying the hot pizza. Dagwood announces as he takes a bite, "Wow, if only my mail was delivered this fast." Mr. Beasley, "Remember who paid for this." Dilbert. Dogbert, the HR expert, is sitting on the edge of the sofa talking to Dilbert. Dilbert is saying, "Don't interrupt me while I'm working today. I need to maintain my flow." Dogbert, "What if there's an emergency?" Dilbert, "You can interrupt me for an emergency." Dogbert, "Would it be an emergency if you had to sign for a package?" Dilbert, "Well, no, but come and get me if I need to sign for a package." Dilbert continues, "Are you about to list dozens of valid reasons to interrupt my flow until you wear me down?" Dogbert, "Just because I have plenty of time and would enjoy it, that doesn't mean I'm doing it." Dilbert, "Okay, good." Dogbert, "What if a skunk got into our heating ducts?" Zitz. Mom is carrying a hamper full of dirty laundry when she trips on a cell phone charging cord that is plugged into the wall. She becomes hopelessly tangled up in it until her husband tries to help. Then they both get tangled up. Finally, the dad and mom are on the floor in a heap with the hamper upended and dirty clothes scattered around the room. Jeremy approaches and states, "Eh, somebody unplug my phone." Baby Blues. Hammy is walking on a path while carrying a cement cinder block. Zoe shouts, "That's good. Keep it going. Good. Run. Every bit helps." Wren approaches while carrying a potted plant. Zoe and Hammy are then both carrying a heavy chunk of concrete. In the next frame, Hammy is moving an old car tire up wood plank ramp. Zoe, "Okay, let's try it again." The final frame shows that the three of them have been toting heavy objects to place on one end of a seesaw at the park. Daryl is on the other end, but he's still on the ground. The idea was to equal or exceed Daryl's weight so they would go up and down. Hammy, "Nuts." Zoe, "We're getting close. His feet almost moved." Daryl is thinking, "This is embarrassing." Pearls Before Swine. There's a board game called The Game of COVID Life. I'll just read each square on the board. Start. COVID begins. Lockdown begins. Help kids with online classes. Work from home. Get frustrated with kids. Begin questioning choice of spouse. Cases down. Move forward two spaces. COVID testing day. Cases up. Return to start. Schools reopen, return to office. Remember how much you loathe coworkers. Schools close again. Find childcare. Childcare too costly. Lose $1,000. Contemplate moving to the South Pacific and not telling family. Schools report. Move forward. Two schools reopen. Move forward two spaces. COVID testing day. Child has COVID. Return to start. Get dog because everyone doing it. Everyone's healthy. Plan first family vacation in a year. Move forward two spaces. COVID testing day. Whole family has COVID. Vacation non-refundable. Lose $5,000. Discover kid has been playing Call of Duty instead of doing online classes for the past 2 years. Lose turn and patience. You hit breaking point. Advance to finish. The last square. Finished. Drink alone in a closet. Hope kids don't notice. Non sequitur. There's a man in a high-rise office building who is gazing out a window to find King Kong climbing a skyscraper close by. The man quickly gets up and opens the window, steps out of the ledge on the building. He walks to the far edge of the corner of the building. He finds himself face to face with King Kong, and the man climbs up onto King Kong's shoulder. The man pulls out his cell phone to take a selfie with the big guy. King Kong waves, and the man waves back from the ledge. In the final frame, King Kong is in bed next to his wife under the covers. He sits up and murmurs, "Whoa, I just had the weirdest dream." His wife replies, "This happens every time you watch some stupid sci-fi movie before going to bed." She continues, "Now go back to sleep." That's cute. Mutts. Mooch the cat is in the first frame speaking to no one in particular. He's standing in a grassy area. He's stating authoritatively, "Do as I saith. Elephants, sound thy trumpets. I hereby decree, ye leopards, shmay, change thy spots." He continues, "And I proclaim all schmunky business shall be resolved. Banana cakes for everyone." Finally, he adds, "Shmake it so." In the final frame, Earl, the dog, approaches and tells Mooch, "Wow, you would make a good king of the jungle." Blondie. Dagwood is at his desk at the office, seated in front of his computer. A woman approaches and announces, "Excuse me a minute, Dagwood." Dagwood replies, "What can I do for you, Marlene?" To which she replies, "The boss wants to see you right away. Something to do with olives." Dagwood, "I hope it doesn't have something to do with that anchovy-stuffed olive contract I handed him last week." He walks into the boss's office and announces, "You wanted to see me, boss?" Mr. Dithers, "Bumpstead, the owner of that stuffed olive company loved the contract you handed him last week." Dagwood smiles and replies, "He did?" Mr. Dithers, "I'm as surprised as you are, but he sent over a box of anchovy-stuffed olives." The boss continues, "I can't stand anchovies. You're welcome to the entire box." In the final frame, Dagwood enters his house carrying his briefcase and the large box. He remarks to Blondie, "You won't believe the delicious bonus the boss just gave me." Pickles. Grandma is sitting on the edge of the sofa with Muffin, the cat, on her lap. Muffin is purring. Roscoe, the family dog, is also sitting on the other end of the sofa. Roscoe is thinking, "It's not fair. The cat gets all the attention. She never lets me sit on her lap." He continues thinking, "It's probably because I can't purr." He continues, "Maybe I can learn to purr." As he tries it, the sound that comes from his mouth is more a growl. "Grrr." Grandma, "Roscoe." In the final frame, Roscoe is locked in his travel carrier. He is thinking, "Well, that went well." Foxtrot. Paige, the daughter, is reading a piece of paper at her desk at home. It reads, "Mary Lou has a master's degree and earns X dollars per month teaching high school math. If her monthly housing costs are 1/3 X and her heat and utility bills are 1/8 X and her food expenses are 1/7 X and her car-related costs are 1/6 X and her monthly health, clothing, furnishings, tax, and student loan payments total 1/4 X, how long until Mary Lou quits her job to try her hand as a full-time TikTok dancer?" Her older brother Peter is there. She remarks to him, "I say my teacher was trying to tell us something, but her name's not Mary Lou." Peter replies, "Hey, my teacher assigned me this problem also." Sally Forth. In the title frame, there is an empty pizza box with one sad slice of pizza left. The slice is thinking, They only left me so they can feel good about not eating a whole pizza and now be wrapped in foil and put in a fridge until 3 weeks from now when someone asks, how long has this pizza been in here? Continuing in the first frame with the actual storyline, Ted is sitting on the sofa while Sally is lying long ways on the sofa with her legs draped over Ted's lap. Sally is drinking some hot cocoa from a mug. Sally, did you say something about pizza? Ted, what? She continues, I thought you said something about ordering pizza. Ted, I didn't say anything about food. I didn't say anything at all. Sally, oh, my mistake. I just thought... Ted, no, that wasn't a mistake. You wanted pizza, but you didn't want to be the one to say, let's get pizza because we both agreed we've been eating too much pizza lately. Sally, okay, okay. Just forget it. Ted, how can I forget it when all I want now is pizza? Sally, well, as long as it's a group decision. Hillary steps into the living room and asks, did you two say you wanted to get burgers? Hi, I'm Lois. There's a close-up of a child with striped pants with blonde hair lying next to a children's toy. In the next frame, there's an off-center shot of a table with a bowl of tangerines on top. In the next frame, another off-center shot shows a ceiling light fixture. Another sideways shot depicts a table sitting on a floor. The next shot is the top half of Trixie's head. High walks in and asks, what was that? Lois shows him her cell phone. Trixie's been playing with my cell phone. In the final frame, Trixie is thinking, my first video. Family Circus. Mommy is at the dining room table where Dolly, Billy, and Jeffy are in their chairs with food on their plates. Mommy, you children aren't eating anything. Billy, we're not hungry. Billy continues, do I have to eat any more of this? Dolly, I'm done. Jeffy, I'm full. Daddy walks in and Dolly asks, can I be excused? In the final frame, the entire family is out to dinner at a restaurant. Billy tells the waitress, I'm hungry. I'll have the steak, french fries, and soup. Dolly announces, I want the giant cheeseburger and double shake. Jeffy chimes in, fried shrimp, rice, corn on the cob. Mommy and Daddy are both looking at the menus while their thought balloons are full of dollar signs. Whoops. You're listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This is brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Beetle Bailey. Miss Buxley and Beetle are sitting out in the woods on a hill overlooking Camp Swampy. Miss Buxley announces, I was a real cut-up in high school. Beetle, yeah, me too, except they called me a screw-up. In the next frame, Beetle tells her, I have to get back for a bed check. Miss Buxley adds, it's time for me to go too. She climbs in her car and says goodnight to Beetle and drives off. In the next frame, Killer is in his bunk and Beetle enters to sit on the edge of his bunk to take his socks off. Killer, well, what did you two do tonight? Beetle, oh, we talked about the fun things we did as kids. We told stories about our family and friends. Then we told each other what we wanted to do with our lives. Killer gets under the covers while thinking, what a wasted evening. Beetle, meanwhile, is thinking, I'll never forget it. Aw. Rhymes with orange. It's one frame where a dog is sitting on the carpeting in a living room with his leash in his mouth. On the sofa are the dad with his laptop, the son with his cell phone, and the mom with her computer tablet. The dog is thinking, left to their own devices, they're left to their own devices. That's clever. Mother Goose and Grim. Mother Goose is sitting on an easy chair reading a book. She tells Grim, just once, I wish you would try to do a job correctly. Grim is grinning from ear to ear. Then Mother Goose says, go get my paper boy. In the final frame, Grim is carrying the paper boy, who's dressed in jeans and a casual shirt, with a bag around his neck that holds several rolled-up newspapers. So, the joke is that the difference is that there's a comma in the first comment and not a comma in the second. So, go get my paper boy, that means one thing, but the second time she commands, now, go get my paper boy. A stretch. Garfield. John is talking to Garfield. I have a complaint, and guess what it is? Garfield's thinking, that's a toughie. Could it have anything to do with my sleeping habits? Garfield continues, shedding and clawing the drapes, hogging the remote, the hair on your supper. John screams at him, you ate all the ice cream. Garfield looks at him, Boy, you really take the fun out of guessing. Dustin, while looking at his cell phone and enjoying a cup of coffee, Dustin is with his sister Megan at the breakfast table. He reads a text. Simone has a job interview lined up for me. He looks up at his sister and announces, "Hello, this could be the turning point in my career." Megan toasts him with a cup of coffee. She quips, "Here's hoping it's a U-turn." Sally Forth. While sitting at her breakfast table and enjoying a cup of coffee, Sally takes a big whiff of the aroma and remarks, "This coffee is good." She takes a sip and adds, "This coffee is really good." Ted walks up beside her holding his own cup of coffee. He points out, "That coffee is also your fourth cup. You're not eager to return to your new office today, are you, Sal?" Sally, "I had the hazelnut creamer and the French vanilla creamer and the fat-free versions of both. But what if next I just go back to bed?" Pearls Before Swine. Neighbor Bob is sitting at a desk writing on a piece of paper. He has written a list which reads, "Bought house, raised two kids, saved for retirement, ran marathon, head of own company, read 1,000 books." Pig comes up beside Neighbor Bob and asks, "What's that, Neighbor Bob?" "A list of my own accomplishments so far in life. Helps to keep me focused. You should try it." Pig takes his pen and his own piece of paper and writes, "Enjoyed cheese." He hands his list to Bob and remarks, "One of us has wasted a whole lot of time." Mother Goose and Grim. Grim and Ralph, the other dog, are in the attic crawl space looking through some boxes of items in storage. Grim holds up an old boombox. He tells Ralph, "Wow, look what I found in the attic. Mom's old boombox." Grim smiles and replies, "Quick, Ralph, go buy us about 3,000 D batteries." D-Flock. Cobb, the tall dog, walks into Tucker's bedroom. Tucker is the young boy who lives with them. Tucker is just waking up. Cobb offers the boy a bucket and explains, "It's the start of maple sugaring season, Tucker. Here you go." He hands him the bucket. Tucker replies, "Ah, what's this?" Cobb, "To commemorate this wonderful time of year, I thought I'd get you your own personal sap bucket." In the final frame, Cobb and Tucker are walking through the maple trees. There are buckets attached to taps on each of the trunks. Tucker is wearing bright yellow rubber boots and has a bucket over his head. Written on the side of the bucket is a message that reads, "Lost, my childhood." From under the bucket, Tucker mumbles, "You still haven't mentioned my modifications." Cobb, "It's hard to comment through gritted teeth." Pickles. Earl is sitting in an easy chair when Opal walks in holding a book. She tells him, "I bought a book about how to give your dog a massage." Earl looks up and asks, "A massage?" Opal, "Yes, it teaches you more than 50 massage techniques to give your dog the ultimate petting experience." Earl, "Does it work?" Opal looks over at Roscoe, the family dog, who is lying on his back with his paws in the air. He has a look of bliss on his face. Opal, "I'd say so." Rhymes with Orange. The text box reads, "The front page. We're at a horse stable, and a jockey and a horse owner are standing outside of the stall where their racehorse is resting. The horse has a smug grin on his face. The jockey holds up a newspaper with a front page photo on the cover. The photo shows the end of a recent race with two horses neck and neck at the finish. However, their horse is mugging for the camera while holding up one of his hooves to cheer. Because of this, another horse crosses the finish line first. The jockey explains to the owner, 'This is why we never win.'" Macanudo. Henrietta, the little girl usually featured in this comic strip, is sitting at the dinner table in front of her untouched plate of food. Her arms are crossed, and her chin is resting on her hands as she looks at the food. She asks her mother, "You say you got this recipe from a book?" "Mom, yes." Henrietta continues staring at the plate of food. She adds, "Was it the Necronomicon?" "I had to look that one up. Necronomicon is the Book of the Dead." Dilbert. Dogbert is sitting on the edge of his desk and hands Wally, another engineer colleague, a piece of paper. Wally, "Your DNA test came back with a finding of do not promote." Wally continues, "You are destined to remain a coffee-swilling blob of useless organic matter until you suddenly die." Wally leaves the office with a smug look on his face while telling himself, "I call that sticking the landing." Baby Blues. Daryl walks in holding a sweatshirt, which he has used as wrapping paper for a gift for his wife. He smiles and greets Wanda. "Baby, it's your lucky day." Wanda continues stirring something on the stove as she replies, "Glad to hear it." Daryl places the gift on the kitchen table and removes the sweatshirt wrapping paper. He announces, "Wait until you see the sexy and thoughtful gift your husband brought home for you." She discovers it's a robot vacuum. Wanda complains, "Your idea of a sexy gift is a robot vacuum cleaner?" Daryl grits his teeth and backing away slowly while murmuring, "Recalculating?" Garfield. Our favorite feline, Garfield, is having a cup of coffee with John. Garfield is frowning. His eyes are barely open and his fur is sticking out in various places. "John, I bet I can make you smile." Garfield mumbles, "Nothing about a Monday can make me smile." "John, tomorrow is Taco Tuesday." In the final frame, Garfield is grinning ear to ear with big bright eyes. Garfield retorts, "Curse you, John Arbuckle." Hi and Lois. The family is finishing dinner in the dining room. They are all very happy. Hi tells Lois, "That was a great meal. We should have this again." Chip, the teenager, remarks, "I second that." Dot replies, "I third it." Ditto replies, "I fourth it." Lois herself chimes in, "I fifth it." Trixie leans back in her high chair, "I ate it." Beetle Bailey. Sarge has a hold of Beetle in his office. He asks Otto, the dog, "Can you hold the door for me?" Otto obliges and opens the door. Sarge takes a hold of Beetle and tosses him out in the yard. Sarge is thinking, "I didn't want to damage anything." Family Circus. Billy is standing on a chair wearing a winter coat while holding an ice pack. He is using the chair to reach the ice machine on the front of the refrigerator. In the second frame, Billy goes outside, puts the ice pack on top of his melting snowman, and all around him the ground is melting because it has become a warm day. Zitz. Jeremy is sitting on the couch next to his dad while looking at his cell phone. Jeremy, "I have to turn my sociology paper in soon." Dad looks up from the television and asks, "Define soon." Jeremy, "It's due today, so I'll upload it 10 seconds before midnight." Jeremy puts his hands behind his head and relaxes, "Unless you think that's pushing it." Dad puts his hand over his eyes while telling Jeremy, "It's homework, not a tax return." Bizarro. The text box reads, "Bogo the Clown, B-O-G-O. A clown wearing a green polka-dotted shirt with a ruffled collar and full-face makeup comes into the Pie King Bakery. He is offering money to the clown standing behind the counter. In the case between them are a variety of pies. The clown customer explains, "I'll pay for a custard pie if you give me a banana cream for free." Non sequitur. Kate, Danae's sister, is sitting on the couch next to Joe, her father. Both girls are reading. From another room, they hear flush, 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 flush. Danae comes in shouting, "I've tested all the toilets in the house and they all waste water." Joe, "How so?" Danae, "You have to flush them 10 or 15 times to get the job done." Joe, "What job?" Danae, "Toilet training, Lucy, of course. What else would I do it for?" Joe, "Well, I haven't seen any notes from your teacher lately." Danae, "Oh, please, Daddy, how could you think that?" Kate, "I'm going to go with experience." Duplex. Fang, the yellow dog, and Eno Camino are sitting at the breakfast table, while Fang is reading the newspaper and sharing an article. "Things women look for in a guy: sense of humor, good looks, stable job, physically fit, and a sports car owner." Fang looks up from the paper and states, "Sorry, nothing about being able to belch the alphabet." Eno continues, "Women are weird." Marmaduke. The greatest of Danes is standing in front of the meat counter at the cave's meat market. Marmaduke has brought an anniversary card with a picture of dog bones on its front, marking the 50 years Caves has been in business. One of the butchers smiles and remarks to his partner, "Isn't this nice? He got us a card for the anniversary of our opening." Heart of the City. The little girl named Heart is writing a letter to her pen pal. It reads, "Dear Helen in Australia, my name is Heart Lamour, and I'm 11 years old. She continues, I live with my mom in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Did you know Philadelphia is also called Philly? Do you ever call Australia anything other than Australia? Give Austria a try and let me know how it goes. Drabble. Wally, the wiener dog, is sound asleep on his big blue monogrammed dog bed. He is snoring quietly. He suddenly is awakened by the Roomba vacuum cleaner that is heading his way. The vacuum makes a loud whirring sound. The vacuum runs into Wally's bed and starts nudging its way underneath it. Wally's ears pop in the air as he is surprised. In the final frame, Wally and his dog bed are balanced on top of the vacuum as it starts to take off around the room. Wily frowns while thinking, I hate this thing. Ziggy, our favorite little guy, is looking out his window. He remarks, sometimes I feel like I'm on the inside looking out, and sometimes I'm on the outside looking in. He continues, either way, I always seem to be on the opposite side of anything interesting. Lola, our favorite senior citizen, Lola, and her grandson, Sammy, are sitting on the front porch. Lola is reading the newspaper. She pipes up, uh-oh, Sammy, the weird neighbor's coming. They both look up as someone approaches. The character of Eno Camino from the comic strip Duplex approaches. He is wearing an ill-fitting t-shirt, trying to cover his protruding beer belly. He has an enormous nose. Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Lola replies, I suppose. Eno, cool. And can you bake me a batch of cookies around said sugar? Lola goes back to her newspaper. Good day. Other coast. Coco the dog and his owner are looking out the window. The owner, I am so over this winter. Rain, hail, sleet, snow, gales, fog, flooding, muddy paw prints on the carpet. Coco looks up while thinking, I call it patina. Blondie. Dagwood is sitting up in bed reading a book. His wife is asleep next to him. He announces, this is the best book I've ever read. Blondie, what's it called, dear? Dagwood, that's actually the title, the best book I've ever read. Dagwood continues, you really got to hand it to the publisher's marketing department. Dustin, Grandpa Kudlik is at the kitchen table eating a Pop-Tart. Dustin, half asleep, is pouring a cup of coffee. Grandpa, you're just now getting up? I've been up for 3 hours. Dustin, yeah, what have you been doing? Grandpa, nothing. Sally Forth. Ted and Sally are sitting at the dining room table as they're chatting. Sally, honestly, why the sudden desire for us to make new friends? Ted responds, it's not sudden. It's just that I want our world to be a little bigger. I just want our lives to be a little fuller. He continues, I just want a single person from work to chat with me on Slack about Marvel or the Star Wars series. Sally, okay, Ted, we'll give it a try. Pearls Before Swine. Pig has approached neighbor Bob at the diner counter. Pig, hey, neighbor Bob, how much money do you make? Neighbor Bob, who is sitting at the counter in a blue shirt with a cup of coffee, doesn't say anything. Then Goat approaches Pig and explains, Bob doesn't want to answer a question like that. It's not polite. Pig, oh. Pig then turns to Bob and asks, please, if you will tell me how much money you make, I'll thank you. Bob continues his silence. Pig turns to Goat and tells him he still doesn't answer. Mother Goose and Grim. There's a woman walking in the park carrying a bag of groceries, and she has a child on a long dog leash. The woman walks past a park bench upon which sits Mother Goose reading a book. Grim, who's also there, looks at Mother Goose and remarks, is that girl a rescue? Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is talking with Mammoth the sheep, who is looking at his cell phone. Mammoth, I can't decide if I should buy this type of cheese balls from Amazon or Walmart. Cobb, we have a general store right here in town that probably has the same thing. Mammoth, what? Seriously? Well, I'm going down there right now. In the final frame, Mammoth is in a grocery store screaming at a clerk, how dare you interfere with American consumerism? Pickles. Grandma is sitting on the sofa looking at us while stroking Muffin the cat on her lap. Roscoe, the family dog, is asleep on the sofa between her and Grandpa, who's on the other end of the sofa reading a newspaper. Grandma, today is our 32nd anniversary. Where has the time gone? We'd like to thank all our faithful readers and newspaper editors out there who have supported us all these years. We really couldn't have done it without you. In the final frame, Grandpa looks up and asks Grandma, "Who are you talking to, Opal?" "Opal, no one. Go back to your paper, Earl." Rhymes with Orange. The text box reads, "The tryouts. There are two human-like biotic cells sitting on a bench in a gymnasium, but they're in someone's bloodstream. There are several amoebas and bacteria floating by. They both are wearing gym shorts and have wrapped towels around their necks. They also both are wearing baseball caps. One remarks to the other, "My dream is to go pro, but I have to accept the fact that I'm just an amateur biotic." Boy, that was a reach. Macanudo. Henrietta, the little girl in this comic strip, is using a swing that is tied to the branch of a tall tree. She is swinging so high until she eventually lets go and flies through the air. In the final frame, Henrietta is in a bed with her head bandaged. Fellini, her black cat, asks, "Have you ever tried landing on your feet? That's what I do." Dilbert. Wally, one of the engineer colleagues, is sitting in his office when a robot walks in. This robot looks like your usual type of robot, all metal body, square head with a computer screen face, and torso. The robot, "Hi, I'm Dilbert's telepresence robot. He'll be online in a few minutes." The robot moves further into the conference room. Also sitting at the conference table, two seats away from Wally, is Asok the intern. The robot, "You're probably wondering if I feel violated when Dilbert inhabits me." Wally, "I wasn't." The robot, "Oh, right, I forgot. I'm garbage to you." Baby Blues. Daryl is lying on the sofa when Hammy enters the living room. He is holding a baseball and wearing a baseball glove. Hammy, "Hey, you want to play some catch, Dad?" Daryl replies, "Oh, I'm too tired." Hammy replies, "Okay, you have a nice rest." Daryl, "Okay, thanks." Then Hammy replies as he walks away, "When I win MVP, I'll be sure to just thank Mom." Daryl suddenly jumps up with a frightened look on his face and exclaims, "Wait, I'm coming." Garfield. Our favorite feline is standing still and staring straight ahead. He remarks, "It's the middle of the afternoon and I'm not happy. I feel like such a failure." Mutts. Earl the dog and Mooch the cat are standing on the ground looking up at a tree branch where there's a bird who's chirping a tune. Earl shouts, "Bravo!" Mooch replies, "He needs a tip jar." Hi and Lois. Our favorite couple is standing at the front of their garage looking inside at items that have been lined up along one interior wall of the garage. Items such as lawn equipment, including a leaf, rake, a hoe, and a lawnmower, a large clay pot, a couple of saplings in pots, and assorted potted plants. Hi, what's all this? Lois, I'm just helping you line up your chores for the weekend. Uh-oh. Beetle Bailey. Sarge is in his bunk making notes on a clipboard. He is wearing only a T-shirt and his boxer shorts. He's thinking, who should I put on KP tomorrow? On the clipboard, he writes, Beetle. Then he stops and sips from a can of beer and says to himself, writing can be so inspirational. Family Circus. Jeffy comes to the door of the next-door neighbor's house where a pleasant woman answers the door. She's wearing a blue dress, and she's smiling. Jeffy, Mrs. Linscombe, could my mommy borrow some breadcrumbs, an onion, and a cookie? Oh, he's going to go far. Yes, he is. Zitz, there's a moose in Jeremy's garage that's loudly bellowing. Jeremy and his band are rehearsing in the garage, but they stop playing when they hear the moose. Jeremy remarks, I think we were flat on that one. Speed Bump. A man comes to the front door and is startled to find the Grim Reaper on his porch. The Grim Reaper is wearing a black robe with a hood covering his head. We can only see a skeletal hand protruding from a sleeve. The hand is holding a cell phone. The specter is holding the iconic scythe over its left shoulder. The caption reads, Well, this wouldn't be a surprise if you followed me back. Followed as on Facebook. Bizarro. A bear is lying on a psychiatrist's couch, but in the psychiatrist's chair is a state trooper. He's wearing a smoky bear hat and a sheriff's badge on his tan uniform. There is a two-way police radio microphone attached to his shirt at the shoulder. The trooper is taking notes in a spiral notebook. The bear tells the trooper, "The insomnia is getting worse. My alarm is set for May, but I start tossing and turning by January." You've been listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This has been brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization, helping the sight-impaired and blind communities in the St. Louis region since 1973. Have a great week. Take care.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, some of them worth talking about.
Not only do we keep creating new words, we keep adding new meanings to old ones. Windows used to be things we opened to let fresh air in or to look out of, not a computer system. And so what then is a mouse? No wonder English is so confusing-er. Yes, confusing-er. E-R. Go online to UrbanDictionary.com and you'll find that it means, and I quote, "more confusing than confusing." Yeah. If that's not confusing, consider a simple English word with 403 different meanings. The Oxford English Dictionary, the OED, says it is set, S-E-T. Now, if you are set on learning all 403 different meanings, set aside some time, set yourself down, and get set for a real education, and then look it up in the OED. I tell you, but there's just not enough time for me to help you collect the whole set.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethe Ward's had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beeches green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance, and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget, what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away! For I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of Poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards, already with thee. Tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays, but here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs. But in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild. White hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast-fading violets covered up in leaves. And mid-May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many amused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn. The same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now it is buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision, or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal, read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening.
This is Bird Note. This young northern flicker is calling from the ground. Sound like trouble? Well, just because a young bird is on the ground doesn't necessarily mean it's sick or injured. At this time of year, juvenile northern flickers are leaving their nests. They fledge when they're 3 or 4 weeks old and almost as big as their parents, 11 or 12 inches long. Although you may picture a woodpecker high on a tree trunk, northern flickers, young and old, actually forage mostly on the ground. So this young flicker, just out of its nest, is poking around in the dirt and leaf litter, looking for ants and other insects. It makes test flights and, day by day, reaches higher and higher into the trees. But you'll still see it regularly, beak down in your lawn, probing for food. The best thing you can do for the young flicker, and other fledgling birds too, is to give the bird some space. And especially, keep your cats indoors. Next spring, this bird will probably be drumming on your roof, advertising for a mate. To learn what to do if you do find a sick or injured bird, visit our website, birdnote.org. We'll help you find your local wildlife rehabilitator. I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org. to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Here's a quick math puzzle for you. How many 3-cent stamps are in a dozen?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
While many people will answer 4, Of course, there are really 12 3-cent stamps in a dozen.
And now back to our regular programming.